Father, we worship you, we thank you, we glorify your name, Lord. Thank you for the glory of the Lord pouring upon us right now. We are promised that, Lord, upon Mount Zion and upon all our assembly, shall the glory of the Lord be thy glory for our defense. In the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord God, as we worship the Lord this morning, and we know, Lord God, you are inhabited our places, and we are so joyful, and we are full of glory. Lord, oh Father, as we read the scripture this morning, we are trusting you, Lord. You are the author of it, Lord, and we depend on you. Never to put our interpretation. No scripture is of any private interpretation. So therefore, Lord, we let the Holy Spirit just guide us, Lord, and we know you will bless us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, just a hopeless short. Eternity, immortality, and eternal life. See? Eternity, immortality, and eternal life. Well, you know, what is the difference? Eternity is the habitation of God, our Savior. Immortality is an attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all of these three, they are related, and they are all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where? Why many scriptures promise eternal life and immortality to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? The word eternity is mentioned only once in the old Bible. See? Only once. That was in Isaiah 57, the 15th verse. So I will read that. For thus said the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, that's what I call it, eternity is the habitation of God, right? Eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and lofty place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So we say that there are no eternity and so that's the only place in the old Bible where it is mentioned and so on. Well, what is eternity? The new heavens and the new earth will usher us into eternity. That's what the Bible says. No, when that one appear, we are ushered into eternity, meaning time without end. Well, people will ask, how long is eternity? Well, I define it, time without end. But let's take a look. The human mind is utterly unable, completely unable to comprehend the meaning of eternity. Nobody can comprehend it, you know. No computer or whatever can do it, you know. They couldn't do it and some of that, you know. Every attempt by human being to measure eternity falls short, far short of the objective. They couldn't do it, can't measure eternity. Now, eternity is infinite, and a man has no means of calculating or estimating the infinite. You couldn't do it. An attribute of God, you know. So, when people are painting pictures to define to us what eternity means, I will give two examples that men have come across to say to try to define eternity, and they all fall short. Anyway, we are told that to imagine the earth, our heart is about 8,000 miles in diameter. This ball, this celestial ball that we have called the earth, is about 8,000 miles in diameter, right? Now imagine they say, that 8,000 diameter earth is now filled with sand, grain of sand like the seashore, right? Now imagine that, so the whole earth, 8,000 miles in diameter, right? Now all filled with sand from the seashore, right? Like, you know. And now imagine a boat taking one grain of sand every 1,000 years. Can you imagine that? Even the only sand we see, you know, half of the seashore alone, first of the old heart itself, now filled with just sand, grain of sand, and a boat will come every 1,000 years and pick one grain. When he has picked the last grain, it is his money in eternity. Amen? Do you get it? Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, so the boat coming every 1,000 years and pick one grain. The old heart is filled with sand, right? Grain of sand. And a boat will come every 1,000 years and pick one grain. When he finishes picking it, imagine how long that will be. It is still money in eternity. Praise the Lord. Actually, another one. Imagine our sun. Our sun is about 865,000 miles in diameter. That's our sun. About, call it a million miles. Imagine they said that maybe a billion times a year from now, our sun will just become, you know, just die away and become solid and, you know, like a solid stone and so on. And another bird come and with his beak, picking at that sun, as big as it is now, and picking it at every 1,000 years, right? He come and pick again. And another 1,000 years, he come and pick again. And keep on, can you imagine, unimaginable, then one time, then when he's done picking that thing, the thing become nothing. Can you imagine how long that will take? It is still money in eternity. Praise the Lord. So you see, eternity, you know, so only God, you know, it is infinite and so on, that, you know. So anyway, well, that's not a crude illustration of what eternity is, but they still fall short, you know, of what eternity is all about. It's infinite and so on. Now let's delve into the treasure trove. I call it treasure trove of what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised us and given to us, and who believe on him. Eternal life. I'm calling it eternity, immortality, and eternal life, right? So eternal life, right? Now let's talk about it and so on. Before the world began, God foresaw the fall of man. He did, of course, be the all-knowing God, the omniscient God, and the result of which will be spiritual death. That's what the result will be in you, that is. And of course, followed by physical death. God planned originally that man should become a partaker of his divine nature. That was the original plan, a partaker of his divine nature, was the original plan, and so on. But when man committed that unthinkable crime of high treason in the garden, he forfeited his right to the nature of God and became the partaker of the nature of Satan. That what happened right there, you know, forfeited the nature of God that he should have inherited and took on the nature of God's enemy and man's enemy. He took on the nature of Satan, which is spiritual death. That's what it was in the garden, where that happened. That nature is called spiritual death, you know, as opposed to God's nature, which is eternal life, you know. Now, this satanic nature has been the cause of all the sin that ever occurred in this world, all the mystery that man has ever faced. This satanic nature that man put upon himself by disobeying God and something like, you know, and all the trouble that man has ever seen, you know, this man has found is because of the nature that they took on when they rejected the word of the law or disobeyed the word of God. It has given, this nature has given man an inferiority complex, a sense of unworthiness. You can't approach God still because of things and something that, you know, because of the nature that he took upon himself, you know, you couldn't approach God, you know. It has given man hatred and jealousy and bitterness. Every ugly thing that has besieged the human race came to him because of this nature that he put upon himself instead of God's own nature, you know. All the crimes, name them, and mysteries of the ages are the result of this nature that man possessed, being not the nature of God, the nature of the devil and so on, that, you know. And the reason that man cannot stand right with God is that his nature is enmity against God. Since he fell, enmity against God. That we can back by scripture. We are told in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. The carnal man or carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So we see that his position and so on. So what the sinner must have, therefore, is a new nature. He has to get a new nature to be able to come back to God again. A new nature and so on. He must be recreated. And God knew all this before the foundation of the world and so on, that, you know. This recreation of man can only be accomplished by imparting to him a new life, a new nature, the very nature of God. That's the only way to do it and so on. And way back then, before the foundation of the world, God promised the race, the human race, this new nature, which is eternal life. God promised back from the beginning, as it is from the scripture. 2 Peter 1, 3, begin to delve into these things and some of that, you know. According to as his divine nature, sorry, his divine power, has given unto us all things, see, that pertaineth unto life and godliness. through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature. See that? That's the only way man can come back to God again. You know? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we're going to talk more about this eternal life as we go down, you know, here this morning by the grace of God. Well, corruption in the world, down to its core, the corruption that is in the world is nothing but the result of spiritual death. That is what it was, you know. We only escape this corruption by the new birth, you know, or by receiving the new nature, the nature of God. That's the only way to escape the corruption that is in the world, really. No other way. The Lord Jesus Christ came to bring to man that new nation, meaning eternal life. That eternal life is all about new nation, the nature of God. In John 10:10, the Lord told us, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life. See that? And that they might have it more abundantly. Now there are two Greek words that talk about life. One of them is, one of them is Zoe. That means, that is the type the Lord brought. Zoe, in other Greek word and so on, Zoe. That is the word that is tied to eternal life. There's another word called sushi. That's P-S-U-C-H-E. That means ordinary or any other kind of life. But the word, the Greek word for eternal life, is the Zoe, the very life of God. See? That's what the Lord brought to us, to mankind, to whosoever we receive him, and that, you know. Anyway, until man has this new nature, he is living in the realm of spiritual death. Every man who has not received Christ Jesus is living in spiritual death. Whether they know it or not, or acknowledge it or not, that's where they are. Until they receive the Lord Jesus, I mean, that's where they are at and so on. And, all those people, they are subjects of Satan. That period, until they are delivered, you know, and so on like that. You know, Ephesians 2, verse 12. That at that time, this is our story, you know, and our story and so on, where we are coming from, and so many multitudes, like our sister saw, you know, and so on, multitudes are still at the valley of decision. Now, here is where you are before. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, see, the natural man, you know, and a stranger from the covenant of promise, having no hope whatsoever, and without God in this world. That is the natural man, you know, who have not received Christ, you know. So, and what a terrible state of affairs is that, really. I mean, the natural man, is alienated from the life of God. He cannot come into God's presence. He cannot fellowship with God. His nature is enmity, like we read in the scripture, against God. His only hope lies in the new creation that can only be obtained by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we look throughout history, the history of the church. Contrary to what the epistle taught us, the church, they go this way. Either they don't talk about sin at all, it's just a normal thing. You know, and they are the church, right? You know. Or when they talk about sin, they talk about it all day long. That's all they talk about, sin. Those who talk about sin, they talk about sin. But they hardly talk about eternal life whatsoever, you know. So can you see the three categories? There is one bunch of church who don't talk about sin. They condone sin, right? And doesn't make any difference to them. They are just church and some of that, you know. Those who talk about sin, that's all they talk about. They both hardly talk about eternal life. See? So this morning, first on time, talking about eternal life that pertains unto the children of the living God. So anyway, so when we receive eternal life, we pass out of the realm of death. See? This is our story right now. The story of the sons of God. When we receive eternal life, we pass out of the realm of death, which is Satan's dominion and realm, into the realm of life. You know, that's what we do. That's what happened to us when we receive eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life. That's simple. And he that hath not the Son of God hath no life. See? There is no judgment for us anymore who are in Christ. No more judgment. We have passed out of Satan's realm into God's realm. Go to remind ourselves about these things, whom we are in Christ. That is time we have to do it. You know, I told you that, you know. We have passed from death unto life. The Lord told us in John chapter 5 verse 24, should be a memory verse for every believer. You know, when we wake up in your dreams, be to say this scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. See, the lot of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, no more judgment. Christ has not been judged second time. They have been judged one time. Moses kind of made that error, and so when he struck that rock twice in the wilderness, and God was being with him, you know, we are told in that rock of prayer was Christ, right? And he struck it twice. Can't do it, you know. He been judged for us, and the church is free from sin and so from judgment. We may lose or receive rewards, but judgment for sin, no more. Christ cannot be judged two times. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, this thing that the Lord told us here, passed from death unto life, is an actual birth out of Satan's family into God's family. That's what it is. You know, when man fell, spiritual death fell on him, right? So, what the Lord has done for us is an actual birth or rebirth out of Satan's family into God's own family. It is mentioned in another scripture here in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Another popular that should never be the memory of every Christian to tell you who you are. See? We are told in Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, if you like, the authority of darkness, if you want, you know, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's where we are and so on. The power of, you wonder why Christians fear witches and wizards and so on, because they don't know who they are in Christ, you know. So, you have been translated out of that. He has no more authority over you. Satan already has the authority that you allow him to have over you, period. If you are a Christian, you know, if you allow him, then you will do it, you know. Other than that, Christ has translated us from the power of darkness and has, delivered from the power of darkness or the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. More about the eternal life that God has given unto his children. Titus 1, the fourth verse. According to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, see that? Initially it was a hope, right? Which God worshipeth now. Which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He knew man will fail, right? And will fall, right? So he already made plan for eternal life, for his children, you know, before the world was ever made and so on, you know. So at that year, God's children and so on. They don't read much about eternal life. They can talk so much about sin. They don't talk about what we have, but we talk of what we have. 1 John 2:25. And this is a promise. See? It's a promise to begin that he has promised us even eternal life. Well, receiving eternal life is the most miraculous incident in any man's life in this world. This is the most miraculous. Thank God for any other miracle, but receiving eternal life is the most miraculous thing that can happen to a man. It is called in different names of public conversion. Some call it the new birth. That's true too. Bible call it a new creation or new creation. That's true too. So it is in reality God imparting his very nature, you know, his very nature, his substance, and his being to the human spirit. It is well described in what we all know when we came to the law, some of the first people we know when we came to Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it is written, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, This is a miraculous recreation of man. I want to say that one. Yes, miraculous indeed. It is God actually giving birth to a new man. See? It's an actual transition of man from Satan's family. I keep on saying that, and that is the truth, into God's own very family. When a man accepts Christ as Savior and confess him as Lord, God breathes into him eternal life. See? His own nation. That's God's nation. Eternal life is God's nation. That nation of the law of God drives out the satanic nation and made that man a new creation in Christ. The new creation then is a miracle. Yes, I keep on saying that because that's what it is. It's a miracle. It is man receiving God's nation that recreates his spirit and makes him a new species among the children of men. Yes, we are a new creation. I remember when I was on campus, they called the Christian new lifer. That's a good name, isn't it? You know?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, new lifer. That's right. You know? And many of them today who used to say those things, we have met them, they have become Christians.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard about two or three, even some of my own friends, you know, they now came to Christ, you know. And I can keep on telling today, I can name four or five rats in my fingertips. Who used to make mockery of God. But later on in life, but you know, when they thank God, they got saved. Now it makes more sense to them more than ever before. Praise the Lord. Anyway, praise God and so on. So anyway, so now usually, the natural man, to him, it's incredible to a natural man that, you know, the Spirit of God can come into the life of any man. They couldn't just figure it out. It's just incredible to them and so on. And that's what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. See? Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. If you want to think that way and so on, that, you know. So the natural man, they can't figure out. You see, you can't do it. You know, how God's Spirit can just come into a man and take him over and change his nation to the God's own very nation. The natural mind receives all the impulses it can get and knowledge only from its five physical senses. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and feeling. See? There is no other means for the natural man to obtain knowledge. His spirit is not responsive to God at all because he's spiritually dead. You know that what it is, you know? And God cannot reveal anything to him because he's spiritually dead. He cannot understand spiritual things. But the Bible says, consequently, the only knowledge, the natural man, he could be a professor, he could be whatsoever, he is not born again. All he ever knows comes to him by the five senses. Praise the Lord. See, that's all he can know. Can't touch God. No, because spiritually dead, you know. But the believer, we have the five senses, but we have a sixth sense too, ain't it?
Yes.
We have a sixth sense. That the voice of the Spirit of God and faith in the Word of God, amen? Praise the Lord. He discard the five senses and so on. You can't touch God with your five senses. He gave us the five senses of sin to interfere with the physical world that we are living in. Praise the Lord. See? So we have a sixth sense as God's children. Now, here is our story again. I want to tell you, Ephesians 2, verse 1. You know, and you has he quickened, see, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, see. Among whom also we all had our conversation, you see, you know, in the times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Telling our story now, where we have come from, where has brought us from, and so on. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. by grace ye are saved. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is our story, you know, and we want to keep on reinforcing in our spirit, reminding ourselves whom we are in Christ. Titus 3:7. That being justified by his grace, that's what grace popping up everywhere in according to eternal life, it's by the grace of God, right? That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Romans 5:21. Just like to talk about eternal life this morning. Talk about eternity, yes. Eternal life. You know, talk about immortality and so on like that, you know. Romans 5:21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace, see that grace popping up again, reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternity, immortality, eternal life is all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life is actually the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, as I keep on saying. Romans 6:23, a popular scripture that we all know, coming to the Lord, and we witness with this scripture all the time. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:14. The Lord talking to Nicodemus, I believe, you know, in that place and so on. The man, like I said before, he could be a PhD or whatever it is. He was a doctor of the law, right? And the Lord said, you are a doctor of the law, you don't even know all these things, you know. He was telling him and so on. Because he was spiritually there, couldn't understand it. And the Lord told him in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, but the Son of Man, he lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. See? He couldn't understand this. You know, he couldn't understand this. But later on, he became converted, I believe, because he didn't join the Sanhedrin to condemn Christ. In fact, he warned them against that. And so I believe him. I believe he was saved, you know, eventually, you know, and so on, you know. Now, in John chapter 5, 39, he told the Jews, share the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Just talking about eternal life, eternity and immortality, you know, in John chapter 6:54. And he now says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All those bunch of Jews, even some followers of Christ, not having eternal life, being there spiritually, could understand that, right? This man want to make us cannibalism and so on, make us to eat his flesh, make us, you know, and they were, you know, but we think some people who are following, they even departed from, you know, following hands. How can we give his flesh for us to eat and so on? They couldn't understand spiritual things, right? They were still spiritual dead, right? You know, they couldn't understand it and so on, that, you know. Even some of his followers, they don't work anymore with him because of those things. Turn to the 12. We also go away. But Peter said in verse, where I'm going, verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen. Amen. Whether we understand it or not, it makes no difference. We are called to believe the word of God, not to understand it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Whether I understand what he was saying or not, there is a deep calling unto deep. Amen. Inside me, tell him this is true. We believe it, Lord. Where shall we go? Nobody else has the word of eternal life but you, O Lord. See? That's the elect of God. You don't have to understand it. Just believe. You are called to believe God, not to understand it really, you know. Now, John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. What a joy it is that you have eternal life. You are preordained to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. He forgive you. He preordained you to eternal life. We don't see more of that, really, you know. So right there, the Lord said, not to all the world, really, you know, to as many as you have given him. That's what he says. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. 1 Timothy 6, the 12th verse. Now, See? You know, those who have already received eternal life and so on, he says, fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art called. You are called to it. See that one? You are called to it. You are predestinated to that eternal life. Amen? You are called to it and so on, that you know. Don't let it slip now. See? Lay hold on it and so on, that you know. So don't do like that. One say, one say forever. Some can say, well, I'm saved and saved forever. Can I go and sing? If you have that kind of attitude, that they do, I mean, the Christianity is questionable, isn't it? You know. Anyway, so, and when you are also called, instead and so on. And has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Romans 2, which I said before, Romans 2, verse 6 to 7, we saw right there paraphrasing, God will render eternal life to these people, to those who by patience, continuous in well-doing, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. See? To them, God will render eternal life. And he's doing it today. In the book of Jude, the 21st verse, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, there are so many scriptures about eternal life here, and that's what I'm saying this morning, that the church don't talk so much about it, you know. You know, so but in 1 John 5:11, and this is his record. Now it was a promise to the Christian, it become a reality right now, amen. And what he say here, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. Not that he will, it was a promise made before the foundation of the world. When you receive Christ, it becomes a reality, you know. That God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. 13th verse says, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not that you will have eternal life. No. That you may know that you already have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The 20th verse says, and we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's what I say eternal life is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, really, you know. So this is the true God and eternal life. In one line, he just summarized the deity of Jesus Christ right there, you know. This same Jesus Christ is the true God and eternal life. That's why in John 10:27, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, see, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In 1 John, the very first verse, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, see, which we have seen with our eyes, qualifying, look at the qualification of eternal life right now to see who he is, the very person of Christ, which we have seen with our eyes. You see eternal life with your eyes? Who do you see? Which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. See? For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. You can show eternal life is the person of Christ, amen? That's what we are talking about. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. We are showing unto you that eternal life, you know, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That by the people can say in the world and define eternal life is the very person of Christ. The Bible says so, you know. So eternal life makes man righteous. Nobody can ever be righteous without Christ and so on. Eternal life makes man a lover, you know, and so on that, you know. Lover of God. No man can really love God until the Holy Ghost comes in there. Eternal life makes man the lover of the Father, you know, of God, you know. Eternal life is the most important thing in the life that a man can ever live. Well, I wish I can just put a trumpet of my voice now and blow this following one to the rest of the world, that this eternal life is not a question of whether one is a church member. Praise the Lord. So that all the churches in the world can just hear this one, you know. Not a question of whether one is a church member or whether one has been confirmed or baptized, you know. That's not the thing, you know. The real issue the people should be asking the rest of the world and all are witnessing: have you received eternal life? See, that should be the question to the sinner when we are witnessing to them and so forth. If you have, praise God, you are a child of God. Praise the Lord. That's the way it is, you know. And if you have not, you can be anybody. You can be a pope if you don't have eternal life. You can be a pope. You can be a minister. You can do whatever you are. You are still spiritually dead. That's simple. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Drop your voice and put it all over the world and so on. Let the Pope hear it. You know, but you receive Christ, he's spiritually dead. You know? And so we see that. So, when you know that you have this eternal life, you know that Satan has no dominion over you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's what it says. When you have eternal life, you know that Satan has no dominion over you whatsoever. This knowledge, of knowing that you have eternal life opens the door of the many eternal attributes and blessings of God to you and us. God has so many things that be eternal. Let's go through it and so on. It opens the doors of many other things, eternal blessings of God to you. For example, there's such a thing as the eternal purpose of God. The Bible says so. As a believer having eternal life, right? That is a blessing that belongs to you. It is the eternal purpose of God that the manifold wisdom of God be made manifest unto principalities and powers by you, the member of the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. What is a blessing that is? It is a eternal, God proposes eternally that you, His wisdom, be made manifest unto principalities and powers by the church. Ephesians 3, 10 to 11, without me going to read that. Now, the Lord Jesus gave us our salvation, eternal salvation. The Bible calls it eternal salvation in one place, in Hebrews 5:8. Though if the Son, His Son, meaning the Lord Jesus, yet learned in obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. You see that? Unto all them that obey Him. See what you are enjoying, eternal salvation, as we continue the Lord Jesus Christ and all that, you know. So the thing that not always spoken up in the churches, you know, and what is our, that is a blessing, you know, that God has done for us as, in our possession as God's children. And we know too, God's spirit is eternal, we know that. And that Christ obtained eternal redemption for us. Let me say that again. God's spirit is eternal, and the Lord Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us. In Hebrews 9:11, but Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, or by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. See? Not like what they were having in the Jewish religion, he obtained for you and I eternal redemption. 13 verse says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, I say the God's spirit is eternal, amen. Praise the Lord. That's where I'm getting at, really, you know. Through the eternal spirit, you know, offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. See? Now, even God himself is eternal. Of course, his spirit is eternal, and God is eternal. The Bible says so too. We know, but the Bible says so, you know. He told Moses, rally up his ministry. And that's what Deuteronomy is all about. He's summarizing all the principles, you know, to the children of Israel and so on. And he said by revelation that God is eternal, right? That is thought of Deuteronomy verse 27. And that's for you and me today. The eternal God, see, God is eternal. The eternal God is their refuge. Your refuge, my refuge, amen? Not only to the children of Israel. The eternal God is my refuge and our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting hands. Praise the Lord. See? Revelation. That's all that, you know? That all God's children, all the promises of God, you know, in Christ Jesus, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God. Whether Moses was used to write it, or it was Joshua, whosoever is the testament, all God's promises. So the eternal God is our refuge too. Praise the Lord. In fact, David came through by the Holy Ghost in Psalm 46, you know, saying the same thing. God is our refuge and strength. Very present help in trouble and so on. Therefore we will not fear, though the heart be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Wonderful psalm there, you know, for any won't be any kind of a trouble, can go through it. He painted the a picture of the worst that can ever happen, amen. And God is still with us, amen. Even if the heart is removed, what about it? God liveth, amen. He is with you and with me. Anyway, so what I say here, God is eternal and so, and this is our refuge. The Godhead is eternal, and the power of God is eternal. In Romans 1:20, see, all the things eternal, 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 the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, his power is eternal. The Godhead is eternal. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the glory of God is eternal. Can you see? Everything about him is eternal. He is eternal. Even God's glory is eternal. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who has called us, you see, you are called, you are chosen, you are predestinated to that eternal life, right? Who has called us unto his eternal glory. See that? His glory is eternal. By Christ Jesus. After that he has suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Praise the Lord. All we thought of where we all go through one thing or the other is in the scripture. After all those things and so on, don't forget, you have been called unto the eternal glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that should strengthen us and bring us out of any temptation and trial, and suffering and so on, when we know and remember all these things and so on. 2 Corinthians 4:17, talking about the eternal glory of God, or God's glory is eternal, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4, talking about our suffering again, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what is comfort, isn't it? Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That is to lift up the saints when you go through anything in this world, you know. Even the Bible said that the Lord Jesus himself, looking at the glory that was set before him, he endured the cross, right? Praise the Lord. Be our example, defining the shape thereof, right? When you are going through something, look at the eternal glory that you are called unto and so on. As you think on these things, all those temptations and trials with your faith into nothingness. Amen? They have to go away. Praise the Lord. Bible is for a moment, isn't it? Praise the Lord. This has to lift up our spirit in the time of discouragement and things like that, you know. 2 Timothy 2:10. Talking about the eternal glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore, I endure all things, the apostle said, for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. See, I love something about that apostle Paul. Never selfish. Amen. That is the case of every minister, right? In one place, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. And a crown of righteousness is waiting for me. Then he put a cloth, not only for me, but all that love is appearing. Amen? Amen. Now, he knows the value of that eternal glory. And he suffered all things for the sake of the elect of his day. Praise the Lord. So the eternal glory of God. Now,
So the believer is ordained to eternal, ordained to eternal life. Where the Jews rejected the gospel, the day of Apostle Paul, when he began his ministry and so on, in Acts 13, you know, he told them, also you must not preach this message of eternal life, but you prove unworthy to receive eternal life. I talked to the Gentiles. Here is what the Gentiles said in Acts 13, 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believe. See that one? No, you are ordained to eternal life. Praise the Lord. Predestinated before the world called. Before the world was laid and so on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your heavenly high, but we have, you know, inheritance. We are promised many, many inheritance according to the scripture. So the believer is ordained to eternal life. So then we have heavenly inheritances. Our heavenly body is even eternal too. The heavenly body we're going to receive is eternal. In Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testimony, they which are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So you see, so the Bible says, you have inheritance in heaven. They are eternal too, you know. So eternal things as well as provided for you and I. In 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible, we are told they are eternal, right? Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and I, who are the children of God. Praise the Lord. And they are eternal inheritance. They don't fade away. You know, Hebrews tell us that they are eternal inheritance, you know. In Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See? All the epistles talking about this inheritance. And we are told that it's an eternal inheritance because we have eternal life too, you know. And in Ephesians 1:11, we are told in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, see that, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. See? Colossians 3:23 says this. And whatever ye do, do heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. 24th verse says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Praise the Lord. I mean, these are the things that, you know, should rejoice the heart of the believer at all the time, no matter what city we are in, any time, any place. Now, receiving this eternal life does one thing for us too. It opens the door of immortality for us. The door of immortality for us. And look, I'm talking about eternity, talking about eternal life, talking about immortality, right? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told in 1 Timothy 6:15, so, the Lord Jesus Christ is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Verse 16 says, who only has immortality, see that, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Eternal life, I mean, I associate you with these things, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our life, really. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I always have that phrase, really, you know, before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Just reading the things that are pertaining to us, freely given unto us of God through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. That's the only way anyone can have eternal life. That's the only way anyone can have immortality through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No other way. No other foundation can anybody lay, you know. 1 Corinthians 15, the 52nd verse. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, and be a change at the rapture time. You know that. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The dead will be raised at the rapture time. We that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we all be changed, right? Become immortal, you know. Here is how the Bible describes that heavenly body that we're going to receive, like unto the Lord's body. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, watch it now, eternal in the heavens. See? So the saints will be clothed upon with our new house, which is from heaven. Mortality will be swallowed up of life. The Bible says in that following verses and so on, ushering in immortality right there, you know. Now, so in conclusion this morning, just walking through those scriptures, you know, from eternity, to eternal life, immortality and things like that, you know. So the Lord has given us all eternal life. We know that. We have it now. The Bible says that's how we know anything. See? Now we know that we have the strength of God is in you. Because you have eternal life, right? God's strength is in you. Praise the Lord. Because you have eternal life. We know that we have the life of God in us. The very substance and being of God is you and I. And we are part of him and so on. He even told us in so many scriptures in John chapter 15, I'm the true vine, ye are the branches. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bible says he is the head of the church. And we are members. Even members in particular. Now, in Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise the Lord. Uplifting scriptures, you know, that one can just eat day and night and be strong in the Lord. Supernatural strength, really, you know, of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. We should never be under condemnation as a child of God, amen. How many times the Bible declares there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, amen. Because the Lord Jesus is our righteousness. These are the things that need to wear down the saints and all of that, you know. We must know, well, if sin comes, what do we do? We should confess it and put it away and walk on with the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1 and 2 gave us the antidote to that and so on. Yes, you know, if we confess our sins, it says, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all another spot of unrighteousness. 1 John 2 1 says, why we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, you know. So, and yes, the admonition not to sin. But so if it happens, then that's what we do. Got medicine for it. And of course, we have the wisdom of the Lord not to say that the grace are bound and sin continue. We don't do that. Praise God. Because we have eternal life. Now, if, so this leads us with what now? The Father's presence. In God's presence, you are clean. You are pure. You are holy. As if you have never sinned, I think it's in Romans. I think in Romans 8:30. He predestinated us, then he called us, right? You know, then you know he justified us, right? Then you know he glorified us. Praise the Lord. Look at all those qualifications that you and I have in Christ. Amen. Who shall lay a charge to God's elect? Who is he? Lucifer? Who shall he be? You know. Praise the Lord. Amen. So it is God that died, that has raised again from the dead. You know. So let him shut his mouth forever. Now, and finishing up here, you know, so we are no more servants, but sons of God. Amen. No more servants. You tell them, I will not call servants anymore. You are my friends, you know. And the epistle gave us even more light and so on in Galatians 4:6. So don't walk beggarly, any kind of a walking and so on. You are children of God. In Galatians 4, I'll close up here this morning, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I see that is not enough at the matter of two or three witnesses in Romans chapter 8, at the 15th verse. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That is the tool of the devil, right? You use fear to discourage God's children. Any new measure you want to take, you do introduce fear. If you let him, he will stop you. So but we know you have not received the spirit of fear and some of that, you know. So for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So fear is bondage, right? What the Bible is saying there. Don't let him get you. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He will try every time. You tell him, just fear the Lord. See, I have not received the spirit of bondage. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Receive the devil and you see that he has no option, right? Unless you give up on him, you resist him, he has to flee.
Mm-hmm.
It is impossible that the scripture be broken. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up halfway. He may resist, you know, but he has to go. If you don't give up, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Stay with the word of God, you know. You know, so, you know, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joined heirs with Christ. What does an heir mean? Everything the Father has belongs to you and I, amen?
Amen.
At one time the Lord said, all mine is thine. And all that is mine. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He has to all that God has. All of God's promises. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
There is no defeat for you and I. Don't ever accept it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you are asking for, if it's in the will of God, it's yours for the taking. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, so, and join here with Christ. It so be that we suffer with him. See, there is suffering going on in this life and so on. You have already warned us about it. You know, that we may also be glorified together. In 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. There is a rumor going on, I won't call it a rumor, a kind of a doctrine. People trying to become sons of God. I went to one brother's house many, many years ago. Was that was that kind of doctrine. Then the Holy Ghost gave me this verse. Right? I said, brother, now are we the sons of God. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says, amen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only praying that something happens. So we have to just open our understanding and so on, that you know. Now, not when it comes. Now, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when it shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise the Lord. In this that you have, this eternal life, there is healing in it, there is strength in this, there is success, amen, and victory over all the power of the enemy. See? And see, and they are all part of this life of the life of Christ. You know, it's all our, you know, that God has given unto us. You know, and this morning by the grace of God, so and we shall reign with him in eternity. Amen. And I want to end where I started from. That Isaiah 57, and that's already the scripture that we are told. We are in Isaiah 15. For those hear the eye, we are going to reign with Christ in the ages of ages to come, ages unending. I have already described it in different ways, you know, and so like that, you know. But to reign with him. So, if you tell me what Isaiah verse 15, for thus said the Lord, said the eye and the lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the eye and the holy place. And with him also, that's why, if anybody loves me, I and my Father will come and take our abode in him, right? That's what we were given in the beginning. And we are all witnesses, amen? It's living in you. It's living in me. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And, you know, so, no, no. that is of course Christ has and our humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. In the book of Revelation, as we need to close up the 21, verse 3. See, we dwell with him, we're going to dwell with him. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. See, we're going to dwell with him throughout all eternity and so. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, many times, eternal things are hard to see because, like I said, you have to see them with the sixth sense. Amen? That's where in the last scripture here this morning, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, what I'm talking about, right, to please let up and so. Why we look not at the things which are seen, see that? But the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Praise the Lord. That is the sixth sense. We see that by the sixth sense. The word of God, the Holy Spirit and so on, like that, you know. So this morning, let us go. Our head lifted up, rejoicing in the Lord, knowing that we have eternal life. Money can't buy it. All the gold, what of the world can't buy it. Nothing can buy it. So, yes, our heavenly Father gives to us as a free gift. He that has Christ has life, right? That has not Christ has no life. I don't care what type of thing you have. Lord, we thank you this morning. Good to remind ourselves of the things which have been freely given unto us of God.
Amen.
That will not be cheated of our heritage. No, by the wicked one, the thief and the robber. He cometh not but to steal, to kill and to destroy. But you came that we may have life. We have it more abundantly. And we know that we have eternal life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. And we will reign in life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Reigning in life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, the kingdom of God is already in us. The Bible says so. Yeah, the rest of the people are waiting to receive the kingdom of God, but it's already in us. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus himself has made us to be kings and priests unto God. Not ordained by man, no. We are kings and priests ordained of God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people. In the name of the Lord Jesus, help us to walk kingly every passing day. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In this will our Heavenly Father rejoice over us when we take advantage of who we are and of his unfailing promises. We thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.